Thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Oh, kids 5 through 11, we're going upstairs. So once you head left.
That would be that way, right? Okay. I don't know if in Arizona they do it different. You know, I grew up in Kansas, so everything's a little bit sometimes different. That's true, huh? I think we are getting ready to change. So, well, what an honor it is to be here with you all this morning. I've had the opportunity for the last, what would we say last night, 5 years to get to know Mitch and Nina. And man, what a privilege and an honor it is. And then obviously, Eric, I know his father, that father and mother, they're going to be here at the end of the month. Jason and Terry and Kona Faith Center, I've done their youth camp a couple times. We're getting ready to go do their youth camp again this summer. And so we're excited about that. And I just want to say thanks so much for Mitch and Nina. Just y'all don't even know what blessings you have. I have the opportunity to travel around the country. And just what I get to see in them, I'll never forget the first camp they came to. We had all these youth pastors showing up, and I thought we could trust some of them. And we found out real quick that it wasn't like that. I mean, right away, I was just like, hey, get Mitch and Nina. See if they can do this, because I know we can trust them. And just their hearts to serve. Their hearts are humble and teachable. And the Bible says this. It says, what does he say? It says he gives grace to the humble, but he rejects the proud. And so I just want to say thank you for that. And then pastors, thank you so much for having me in this morning, letting me be here. And what a privilege and an honor it is. And I trust that just the rich heritage that's here, I'm believing I'm going to take something away from it as well. Amen. Paul said this in Romans 1. He said, I can't wait to come to you that I may impart to you a spiritual gift that will make you strong and that we may be all mutually edified by each other's faith. So I'm believing that I'm going to be edified this morning too. My name, like they said, is John Coates. I work for Faith Christian Fellowship International. I'm the youth coordinator. We have an organization called the FCF Youth Network. And so I have the opportunity to travel across the country and help churches start. We've started about 15 youth programs and churches, and we've helped redevelop about another 20. And then we do camps and conferences and consulting and coaching missions and dot, 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 dot. My wife and I also founded an organization called Youth Pastor in a Box, and where our goal is to develop spirit and faith-filled resources that disciple students and train leaders. So we just really believe in the next generation. We've given our lives to it. My wonderful wife, beautiful wife, Joy. We have 2 children. My son is 7. His name's JD. And then my daughter, Abby, is 5. And then my 13-year-old niece, Raven, also lives with us. So we have a full house. So, but just to kind of give you a little taste of kind of what happens. I know some of the students came to our camp this summer. We had an amazing time. And but we have a video that we're going to just play. If we're ready, are we ready to rock on that? And we're just going to roll that video, and you can kind of see what happens at camp and give you a little taste of kind of what I want to share about this morning. So that's a little bit, sometimes it's even hard to capture on video what happens at youth camp. And I love youth camps because I grew up in a Rhema church, and where I was from, we were in a smaller church, and we had a youth group of about 7, and we didn't have anything to go to, and so we partnered with the Assembly of God camps that we went to. And so I became a youth pastor in 2005, and the Lord had, I'll kind of get into that, but one of the things the Lord just put on my heart was that this next generation needed to understand the principles of faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's kind of what we do. Is God called me in 1999. I was living in a town called, my dad had just moved to plant a church in Rockaway Beach, Missouri. And I found myself there fasting and praying and never thought I'd be there. And God had this amazing move of God in my high school. My senior year, 700 students got saved during school hours, and we had just had this mass revival. And so I thought I'd go to Rhema, and when I prayed, the Lord spoke to me to go to Missouri with my dad. It was there that he spoke to me and called me to what I'm doing today. And he said, I'm calling you to go to Tulsa to raise up a nation of young people. And so that's kind of where I found myself, serving as a youth pastor for 6.5 years, and then now traveling the country for the last 4 years doing camps, conferences, which I just recently became in my home church again, a youth pastor again. So we do quite a bit. But one of the things I wanted to focus on this morning is really what God has called me for to minister to youth. It's not really just about youth. It's just that my specific calling has an emphasis on youth. But how many know the word is not limited to age, gender, race? It's not limited to anything. It's to him who believes. Amen? And the Bible even tells us that we are to have childlike faith. And so it is about all of us and the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was nothing that was made that was not made through the Word. Amen? And so it's for everyone. It's for all generations, and it's for all countries. And like I said, all sexes, all races, and the Word will work if you'll work the Word. Amen? So anyway, we have a table back there with some stuff we have for camp. All the proceeds that from those just go back to into camp, and we just keep on doing more camps. We do one in Oklahoma. We do one in West Virginia, and we've been asked to do one now in, I think, four other countries. And anyway, we're just got to be led by the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? And so we're going to be doing that. But anyway, I got a book back there, and I should have brought one up. I have a 30-day devotional. The Lord I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I went to Mardell, which is basically like the Christian Walmart. And I was trying to find some material to teach my students about the gifts of the Spirit and about speaking in other tongues. And I couldn't find one thing in Tulsa, Oklahoma for youth that talked about the things that I was believing for. Oh, thank you so much for that. And so it was a devotional the Lord just kind of instructed me to write. And it's called The Missing Link to the Spirit-Filled Life. And so in there we talk about three things: how to get your mind and mouth set on the Word, and how to pray in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, you should pray that you may interpret. And so you don't have to be 40 years old and in church to interpret what you're praying out. And I found out that's where God will reveal to you your destiny. So anyway, that's back there. I also have another book called Worth Dying For. And we just want to, like I said, provide faith and Spirit-filled resources that disciple students and train leaders. Amen. Let's pray, and then we're going to just dive in the Word and see what the Holy Spirit would like to do this morning. Lord, we just love you today. God, we're grateful to be here today. Lord, there's people around all around the world today, and they don't wake up and have the freedom to choose where they go to church. And Lord, we thank you for the freedoms that we have in this country. And so, Lord, it's our duty and it's our calling, Lord, to take our freedom and to give it. And so I just pray even this morning, Father God, that, Lord, there are nations that are living in people in this room. They have not yet walked on those continents. They have not been to those countries. But there are nations that are living in people, Lord. And that are dreams that are living in young people to go to those nations and take the freedoms that they've experienced. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that, Lord, that they would just use that as a confirmation of your word to them. That, Lord, that you're raising them up for such a time as this. That there are Esthers, there are Davids, there are Josephs in this room this morning, in this church, that are being awakened to their divine destiny. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the power of the Word of God. You said that your Word is alive and it is active. The Amplified Version says it is energy. And so may your Word energize our faith. May it energize our bodies. May it energize our minds. May it energize our memories. May it energize our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you that we have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And we just take authority right now over every distraction that would try to distract from hearing from the Word. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd ask if you would open them up with me, if you would, to Luke, the fourth chapter. And I'm going to just kind of share some things the Lord's put on my heart. And kind of all got started. You know, I live in, like I said, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the students that were in my youth ministry, all their parents, a lot of them went to Rhema, went to Bible schools, grew up in church. And many of my students couldn't tell you why God heals, why God delivers, who really Jesus was. And I was just dumbfounded about how I grew up. And I don't know if anyone in here grew up, but I grew up on Gospel Bill, Willie George Children's Ministry. I could have told you the nine gifts, the nine fruits. I could have told you all kinds of stuff by the time I was 7 years old. And so I just assumed everyone else grew up the way that I grew up, you know. And I was just in Tucson this last week at a conference. We had a youth conference and had about five or six churches. And so we were there and I was just sharing, like, the way I grew up is when you woke up in the morning, Dad was in the Lazy Boy, not back snoozing, watching TV. He had his Bible open, making confessions over our family. And there was certain Christian music I wasn't allowed to listen to. And so I just assumed everybody lived like we did, like what you were taught in church, you did at home. And when I was about 9 years old, I got a rude awakening that just because you go to church on Sunday morning and shout and holler and run doesn't mean that you live that way and raise your kids that way. Come on, somebody. And so what happened was, is now we have a generation that's been raised up that is so unfamiliar with who God is and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Brother Hagin, in his book, Tongues Beyond the Upper Room, he said that the Lord spoke to him and said, we are one generation away from a complete removal of the move of the Spirit. And he said, it's up to us that are mature and experienced to begin to teach those things and to begin to demonstrate those things. And so what I found out is I've traveled around the country. I guess it hit me really the first camp we did, and that was in Morgantown, West Virginia. And by the grace of God, I don't know why they sent their kids there. Most people didn't know who I was. They found out that there was a Holy Ghost youth camp, and they said, well, we'll just go. So we had pastors. They didn't even have youth groups. We had pastors that had vans full of kids. They dropped them off. They went home. Oh, I guess we'll take care of them. And I had this, my friend Ben, he was my first intern in this position. And he had just graduated Rhema. We had another girl that was in Rhema. We had a girl that was getting her master's at ORU, and then me and my wife. And we were $2,000 in the hole just showing up. Talk about living by faith. And so we got there, and I had a horse trailer. There was a big horse trailer. And I am a city boy, even though I grew up in Kansas in the wheat fields. But anyway, we in the front of the horse trailer was a real nice camper. So I felt like Oral Roberts. I'd go in my little camper, and I'd just sit there, believe in God, just trust in God. And so the last night, we had a move, and you knew things were going to be interesting when the first night your cabin leader, the people responsible for the kids, answer the altar call for salvation. Come on, somebody. Your faith is going to be tested right there and then, and your patience. And so anyway, just that night, I'll never forget, we had the last night, we had a bunch of healings, and a lot of crooked feet were straightened, backs were healed, and that's just usually how God uses us. And so this kid came up, and he looked at us. It's 11:30 at night. We've already been going since 7. We're tired. And he looks at me and says, I want to see out of my blind eye. I said, well, come on, somebody, let's just do this. And, you know, we'd already seen God do, so of course I got my wife with me, and my wife, like, every once in a while, she'll just get fire in her hands. And that means whatever you're doing, just stop. We're going to start laying hands on people, and we're going to see healings. And so we're just sitting there, and so I'm like, dude, my wife, she's got it. I was just like, yeah, we're going to take care of it, you know, and hear my wife, because I'm like, it's going to be my wife's faith. I'm just going to step back and let her go. So I'm up there, and anyway, long story short, after about laying hands on him and him falling down 3 times, just did what he saw his parents do. I mean, like, before you could even lay hands on him, he did the whole melt thing, you know, and I didn't feel anything, and no one else felt anything, but we would stand up, and we'd be like, cover your good eye, and let's look out of that. You're going to see out of that eye. And he didn't see. I was like, oh, my word. So I was like, well, why are you going to be healed tonight, my friend? And he goes, Jesus loves me. I was like, well, Jesus loves everybody, and he died for everybody, but what's going to make you healed tonight and everyone maybe on another continent not healed? What's going to be the difference between you and them? And his eyes got even bigger, and you could just tell it. He got the revelation. The Rhema word is hitting him. Here we go. We can really see something happen. He goes, God loves me. I was like, well, I know God loves you. God loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus died 2,000 years ago for everybody. So why are you going to see tonight, my friend? And he just looks at me, and he goes, Jesus loves me. So I just look around, and in this room we have Rhema Church. I'm from with FCF, and so we had FCF Rhema churches in this room, and there's about 60 kids, and the youth pastors, it's 11:30, so they're falling asleep. So we finally got them out of the room so faith could pick up. And so we got there, and I'm sitting around, and I'm asking these kids, why is he going to be healed tonight? What's going to bring healing to his life? And that, you. I was hoping it was going to be you. Like, I was just going to watch you do something, and we was going to sit here and, you know, run in the lake if something happened. And so I found out at that moment, for the next hour, we begin to have to teach the basic principles of faith. They could not tell me one healing scripture. They could not tell me one faith scripture. So we just started in Romans 10:9-10. Why are you saved? Well, because I believe. Well, who do you believe in? Jesus. Well, how do you know about Jesus? I don't know. Well, I mean, who told you about Jesus? Well, a preacher did. Well, how did that preacher find out about Jesus? Well, probably his mom and dad. Well, who? It had to start somewhere. Who knew about Jesus? And finally, we got it in their, you know, they got it because they read it in the Bible. So you're telling me you read the Bible, you believed it, and no matter how you feel, no matter what you look like, even when you don't feel saved, you're saved? So what does that mean? That means you believed it, you said it, and now your corresponding action is going with what you believe and what you say. Oh, yeah. All right, so why is he going to be healed? They're all getting it. God loves them. All right, let's go back to square one. Why are you saved? Because I believe. What do you believe? God's word. What does God's word say? If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you're going to be saved. And so we went and I was so frustrated at this point. I mean, I can't tell you how many scriptures we memorized before we were even 7 years old. I mean, I had cavities because of so many scriptures I memorized. You know, you got the Jolly Ranchers, if you could raise your hand and say your memory verse. And so I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I just said, hey, the Bible says by his stripes, you were healed. So we just walked for next hour and a half. We walked him through it. Why are you healed? Because I believe. What do you believe? God's word. What does God's word say? By his stripes, I was healed. If you was healed, you is healed. So are you healed? I'm healed. When were you healed? 2,000 years ago. And he's just getting ticked off because I won't stop. I just keep going at because I know what's going to happen. You speak God's word long enough and all of a sudden faith arises. Faith, your corresponding words come together. What does the Bible say in 1 John 5:4? Faith is the victory that does overcome the world. And so next thing we know, he had his good eye covered and he's trying to look out of this eye and I'm putting name tags around my neck and I'm walking around and he's not supposed to be able to see. And I keep asking, why are you healed? Because I believe. What do you believe? God's word. What does God's word say? Joel, come on. Why does God's word say? And now he's getting frustrated. All of a sudden he gets frustrated and he goes, I got name tags. You know, I've been taking name tags and putting them on my neck. And he goes, I don't know, Jeff. I took Jeff's name tag and had it on my, and it got about as quiet as it is right now. And everyone was like, do you realize what you just did? He goes, I just read. I was like, out of your good eye or out of the eye that they said was blind? Out of the eye that I'm not supposed to read out of. So then we began to work with him. And some faith is a process sometimes, and so you just begin to work. So we would hold a piece of paper, and he couldn't read the letters, so I would just point at he couldn't read the words, so I'd just point at each letter. Okay, what's this letter? What's this letter? What's this letter? And then I'll take a step back. Okay, what's this letter? What's this letter? And every once in a while, when he couldn't see, you just see it. That old condemnation would just come on him. He just, oh, and I was like, come on, man, you're going to have to speak to that condemnation. Come on, speak the word. And so anyway, little by little, and now we get stuck at this, where he's about in this carpet, I'm here, and we're stuck. We're not moving forward. He's just stuck. And his sister comes up to me and grabs my shirt and says, excuse me. I'm like, oh, great. She's going to tell me he's faking it. We've been doing this for an hour, and we've been faking it. He's been able to see the whole time. And so if that's never happened to you, but it's happened to me before. So anyway, so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden she goes, there's something you should know. And I was like, oh, no, he is faking it. And she goes, yeah, he's dyslexic. It's like, what? She goes, even in his good eye, he studies, he's homeschooled, and he has to read his book like this. I was like, what? Come to find out he had ADHD, CD, BD, FG. The list just kept going on. And it was so cool. The reason why it was taking so long is God wasn't just healing his eye by speaking God's word. What does it say? God's word is medicine. It's life to us and health to all of our flesh. That night, he was healed of every disorder he ever had. To this day, he is still reading like this. He comes to every camp, every conference. He's from a little town, a little church that had 3 youth in it in Morgantown, West Virginia. And they come to every camp. And I'll never forget, at the end of the camp, his brother walked up to me and gave me money. He goes, hey, here, he gave me 50 cents. I said, man, praise God. Thank you so much. He goes, I know it's not much, but I only came with 3/4. I mean, they had like 8 kids in the family. And I always thought that was weird. They have 8 kids, but the youth group was 3. So I don't know what happened there. But anyway, gave me that money. Next year, I'm in Morgantown doing a conference. And he comes up and gives me an offering. And it's not 50 cents. It's not 75 cents. It's $323. Why? Because he sowed. And what happened? What are you going to do? God will not be mocked. A man will reap whatever they sow. And so, and what happened is in Morgantown, the word got out. And now, man, we've seen God move. And youth camps, we didn't have time to show it. But this year we had Jay Hoskins. He's a traveling evangelist. And he was supposed to be ministering on healing. But God kept having him minister on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we have we don't have churches that aren't familiar with the way we roll. So we have all these kids there. That week we had over 70 kids get filled with the Spirit. Out of 233 people, 70 of them got filled with the Spirit. We saw John Smithwick was there, and he ministered, and we saw over 50 people be healed just in that short week. And so what happens as I keep traveling around, it's just amazing to me because, I mean, we was getting filled when I was 3 years old. And so what's going on is that's what we're finding out is we got kids that have been growing up in church and they don't even know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. So no wonder God would call me at the age of 19 and say, I'm calling you to Tulsa to raise up a nation of young people. And so I began to ask him, how do you raise up a nation? Like, and first of all, why would I go to Tulsa? I mean, they got everything in Tulsa. I'm here in Rockaway Beach, Missouri, a town of 383 people. We've got 27 kids coming to the revival we're doing. They've been saved, filled, healed. We had kids going into the bar asking their parents for money because we had a little snack shack. We got kids that never going to be reached. Why you want me to go to Tulsa? And now I realize it because there's this idea that if you just grow up in church, you just catch it. But that's not always the case. And so we've been taught things, but I love what I heard someone say this. He said, the spirit of faith is caught. The subject of faith can be taught. And so you need to do what? You need to be taught it, but you also need to catch it. And so there's nothing more cool than being at a conference. We'll do a Friday night. We'll be together Friday night, Saturday morning, and all day Saturday, Saturday night. And there's nothing more powerful than seeing kids that don't have to have parents. You know, I'm nothing against parents, all right? Just hear me out. I'm a parent. I have a teenager. And so what happens was, as I was a youth pastor, it'd be 8:15, and the parent that was like, well, could you do something about my kids? They're causing trouble. And 8:15, they're knocking on our youth door. We got to go. They got homework. Their student just got slain in the spirit. They're wanting me to wake up their student. I know she wanted me to fix you, but hey, you know what I mean? Because I can't fix nobody. It's the word and the spirit that's going to transform lives. And so what happened was, is we got people wanting the spirit of God and the word of God to transform people. But we look at our watch and say, well, you got to do it in 45 minutes though. And how many know if we would have looked at that boy and said, dude, it's been 45 minutes. I'm tired. Everyone else is tired. We're just going to bed. How many know homeboy wouldn't be seeing today, wouldn't be reading, wouldn't be testifying of all the goodness of God. And so that's what we got to be careful with is that the Bible says that, you know, Peter, he fell asleep three times. I don't know where we're going, but somebody's pulling on something. He fell asleep three times. And so Jesus comes to him three times and wakes him up and says, hey, Peter, what are you doing? And I always wondered why did he fall asleep three times? Because Mark, Peter's, you know, his kind of like understudy, one of the disciples, he's writing basically on Peter's accounts, and he's writing, why is it saying Mark? It even records, he records, Jesus went a little further, falling to his knees, says, my soul is full of anguish. I'm to the point of death. And it says it's drops of blood are coming. I mean, he is under so much stress and he can repeat the prayer that how could he be asleep and how could he hear what Jesus prayed and still go to sleep? Well, if you read Luke's account says this when they're going to the garden. It says, and they went to the garden as was their custom. See, they did this every night after dinner. We got full belly. Jesus is going to go pray. Man, he's going to get in the spirit. He's going to be praying for every. I can just get a couple snoozes in real quick. I mean, they walk around all day. I mean, think about, man, if you've ever, obviously, those of you that have been on a mission trip, you realize you ain't just going around giving high fives. There's a spiritual pull that comes out of you. And at night, man, just you need to catch up on some Z's. And so Peter falls asleep three times. Well, the Bible says that this, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But the word there is not the logos word or the full counsel of God. The word there is the rhema word, a personally spoken word. And so what happens is we've got people thinking that we're giving people faith because we've got the logos word, and people all over America and all over the world are in church this morning getting the logos word of God. But if they're not awakened to the spirit of God, then they ain't going to get the rhema word. And what does it say faith is? Faith is the victory that does overcome the world. So why do we got a bunch of spirit-filled, supposedly word people not overcoming? It's because they're so full of the logos, they haven't realized that God didn't just give us the logos so we would have the full counsel. He gave this to us so we could take it and receive it personally for wherever we're at, and it will work for you personally wherever you're at. And what does it say in Mark 11:23? If you believe, come on somebody, if you believe those things you say and don't doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. And what do we have people walking around saying? I just don't feel like I'm alive. I just don't feel like, I just ain't feeling. It's been 45 minutes. I still ain't feeling nothing. Well, guess what, my friends? I'm so glad that feelings don't determine my faith. Faith is a belief. Faith is choosing to believe that I'm going to love my wife regardless of what I feel. Faith tells me I'm going to work regardless of what I feel. Faith tells me to shut the alarm clock snooze button off and just get myself up and get ready. Why? Because I believe if I go to work and I work, I'm going to get a paycheck. And if I get a paycheck, then I'm going to be able to do some things. The same is true with the Word of God. If you will make yourself get past your feelings and get in the Word of God, Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path." Well, I've tried the Word and I'm not seeing the results. Guess what? Don't try the Word. Work the Word. Keep on working it. Amen? And so what happens is we need to have a generation that understands this, and they don't need to wait till they're 20, because if we wait till they're 20, they're out the door, they're gone. Why? They need to have a rhema word. Turn with me now, if you would, to Luke. We'll get back to this, and we're going to work through this, and we got about three or four scriptures we're going to go through. Luke 4, we're going to go to 18. Read with me quickly, if you would, and we're going to work around this. But it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Now, this is Jesus. He's reading this. "To proclaim the good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he, Jesus, rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture, not gonna be, has been fulfilled in your hearing." Well, if he fulfilled the scripture, well, let's go back to the original scripture to find out everything that he fulfilled. So you can go over there to Isaiah 61, if you would. It's in the middle of your Bible. And we're going to read what he fulfilled and why he fulfilled it. Isaiah 61. On my Bible, it's number 620. So I'm not sure if you got the same Bible as I am, but probably somewhere around there, huh? Isaiah 61. 1. I'll let everyone get there because I want you to read it so you can see it. You're 75% more likely to remember something if you use more than one of your senses while doing it. So that's why I like the word. I have an iPad, iPhone, MacBook, MacBook Pro. I love technology, but there's something about the written word. Why? Because you see it, you smell it, you feel it, you can sense it, right? Hopefully you're not licking it and tasting it, but that would help you remember it, obviously, because you're using more than one of your senses. And so that's why I just love the word, because I've never heard anyone lose their iPad and say, "Where's my Bible?" Never heard anyone lose their phone and say, "Where's my Bible at?" Right? And so I teach my kids, one of the things in our house you have to do when you leave for church is you have to have a Bible, and you have to look decent, and you got to have a good attitude. Your attitude will determine what you receive. And so they're like, "Why do we have to have our Bibles? I have my iPhone." Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to teach them to honor God's word. And there's something about God's word. And when they have their phone and they're text messaging and Facebooking and everything else, like I said, when she broke her phone, she didn't go, "I just broke my Bible." She's concerned. Why? Because she doesn't know what's going on Facebook, you know? And so I was like, "No, we're going to carry the word. We're going to carry it. We're going to use it. We're going to read it." In our house, I don't know why we need to say this, but I feel like I just need to share with you. In our house, every night, our kids have to say 5 scriptures. We have a memory verse. And almost, we used to do it weekly, but now we've got about 30, 40 scriptures that they've memorized. We just kind of mix and match them. And so we have everything from personal value to victory. And so a confession we make every night over our family. The Coates family is a family of faith, a family of love, a family of victory, and a family of fun. And so we have nightly prayer together. Everyone knows before we go to sleep, we're going to get in the room. Everyone says their 5 scriptures. And then I pray. I bless our home. I plead the blood over our home and command angels to have charge over our home. I speak wisdom and strength and peace over our home. And then we say our confession. The Coates family is a family of faith. And then we pray in the spirit together. I came home when my son was 2 years old, and he was learning Spanish by watching Dora. I said, what? You know, you learn in Spanish. Well, and I told my wife, if he can learn Spanish, he can learn the Bible. You know what I'm saying? And so guess what? Daniel 1:17 was the first scripture we learned. And we just made it a personal confession. I am smart and I have wisdom. What does it say in Daniel 1:17? God gave Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wisdom in all literature and in learning. And Daniel was able to understand visions. And so we do that. Why? I got to raise up another generation. If I can't raise up my own house, then I can travel around the country all day long and all year long. But how many know that I'm going to stand before God for my family? Amen. And God spoke to me. We're going to be a family of faith, a family of love, a family of victory, and a family of fun. And so that's what we're doing. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot of work. But how many know it's worth it, right? Isaiah 61. All right. I don't know. That was a little side note. That probably should have been a sermon in of itself. Isaiah 61. This is what Jesus fulfilled. This is the scripture. It says, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of depression, that they might be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins, and they shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Who is Jesus talking about in Isaiah 61:3? They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to display his splendor. They'll rebuild ancient ruins. They'll even rebuild cities that have been broken and devastated for generations. Who are they? They are them that got connected to Jesus who was anointed, right? What did Jesus do? Did he heal? What about people that were really, really depressed? Did he help them out? What about the lady that was getting ready to get stoned? And I mean, her sins were up against her, piled up against her. Did Jesus forgive that? How many think she went home really sad? She went home probably full of joy. I'm full of joy and I got the victory. And so she probably was excited, right? Well, we know that Jesus was anointed and Jesus had this anointing on him to do all these extraordinary things. And how many know he had 12 punks who got connected to Jesus and they went out and changed the world. They went and rebuilt cities that were devastated for generations, right? And so if Jesus had the Holy Spirit, he was anointed to do those things. Well, let's turn over to John 16 and find out what Jesus said about this anointing. That's in the New Testament. We're going to the Gospel of John, not 1 John, but in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to go to John 16. I love the Word of God. Right? It's so good. It's so refreshing. I love it. It says in Ephesians, and he cleansed the church with the washing of the water with the word. Reading the word is like taking a spiritual shower, right? Just wash that memory clean, wash those doubts clean, wash that soul and this flesh clean, and just say, we're going to live by faith. And I don't know about you, but you just get done reading the word and you feel refreshed. Amen? It says in John 16, verse 12, Jesus says this to his disciples. He's getting ready to leave. He just told them, hey, deuces, I'm out of here. I'm getting ready to bounce. And he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The word bear there means you cannot carry them. You cannot understand them. You cannot bear them now, he said. Verse 13, when the Spirit, capital S, when the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare. The word declare means a systematic set of discourse. So he will give you a systematic way to do things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it unto you. Man, that's good news right there. So he had the Holy Spirit. Now he's telling his disciples, I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm anointed to preach good news. I'm anointed to heal. I'm anointed to, I love what the NIV Bible says in Isaiah. He says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the anointed preach good news, to heal the brokenhearted. To heal. I used to confess that every Wednesday night before my service. Tonight, the anointing is upon me to heal the brokenhearted. Every one of my kids was from a broken past. Most of my kids in my youth group got in my 91 Volvo wagon, put them in the back. I had a jump seat in the back, so technically it was like a minivan. I was the only white dude in the car, and we'd go to church, and most of my kids, their parents didn't raise them. Their parents didn't teach them nothing. And so what we would do is we would sit there, we'd seek the word, and I'd just be speaking that as I'm driving. The anointing's in my car right now, healing broken hearts. The anointing's here. Guess who those people are today? They're leading our church today. They're all over the country doing God's things. One girl's at FCF leading our international Bible school. in our youth group, little old youth group, 8 kids when we started out. What did we do? We just taught them how to get their mind and their mouth set on the word, how to pray in the spirit, how to get their value from the word. Here they are, changing the world. So Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Someone look at your neighbor and say, you, come on somebody, I'm a youth pastor. We got some, don't hate, participate. Look at your neighbor and say, you got the Holy Spirit if you've received it. But if you've received it, you got it. Whether you like it or not, whether you feel it or not, you got it. Now we're going to go over to 1 John. That's in the end of the Bible. If you go all the way to the end, you have Revelation. You go backwards, you go Revelation, Jude, 3 John, 2 John. You'll find yourself then in 1 John. And we're going to go to one of my favorite scriptures. And we're going to probably quote a few different translations of it because I love it so much. This is good news. Amen. Jesus said the gospel. The gospel means what? Good news. Well, it's not good news if I can only have the Holy Spirit when I come to church on Sunday. It's not good news if only certain special people have the anointing and I got to wait till I get around them to get some anointing. Come on, somebody. It's not good news if the anointing's in heaven and if I only can receive it, if I plead, beg, borrow, do all kinds of stuff and do. How many know that's not good news? Hallelujah, that's not. Just look at your neighbor and say, no, bueno. That's not, that's no good. That's not good news. If the Holy Spirit's in heaven and the anointing's only on John and he has to go to camps and the only time I can get some of the anointing and I can get healed and the time I can only connect with the anointing is I got to go all the way 17, 18 hours to Tulsa, Oklahoma and I got to sit through a youth camp and hopefully I'll get some. I don't know if I'll get some, but hopefully I'll get some because John's got some. If John's got some, hopefully my kids will get some. And that's what people do to me all the time. They're like, here, take my kids. Hopefully you can do something with them. Hey, wait a minute. Yeah, I nothing special about me than just God's given me a message, but you got the same anointing, and I would dare say you got more anointing for your kids than I'll ever have. God would be unjust, because then I would raise your kids. But how many know I ain't going to raise your kids? I got actually not just two of my own kids. Now I got another kid living with me for the last year, and we're raising her up. So that's not good news, but good news is this, 1 John 2:20. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:20. But you have been anointed by the Holy One and you have all knowledge. I love the King James Version says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. That's good news right there. Hallelujah. Someone look at your neighbor and say, you is anointed. Say today, tomorrow, wherever you go, school, home, work, in the dungeon, in the alley, wherever you go, you is anointed. Well, I like to believe that, but I'm just not sure that I can completely understand that, because if you understood my life and what I've been through, what I've experienced and what I've seen and who I am and the mistakes shut yourself up. The Bible says you is anointed. Well, if I was anointed, why don't I look like it? Because you focusing on what's going on out here instead of looking on what's up in her. How many of you know if you look outside and it's snowing and it's cold and you just sit there and you got, well, I don't know if it snows here, but in Tulsa we get snow. And you put your nose up against the window and you just watch it snow and snow and snow and snow and snow some more like my kids and they want to go play in it. And then next thing you know, their nose is cold. Next thing it works up to their forehead and now their forehead's on it. Now their eyebrows are on it. Now the cold works on their face and it goes down there. All of a sudden now they're cold and now they think they're cold, forgetting that they live in a house that I'm paying the bills so they can have heat. Just back up from that window and come in and get some heat. Well, the same is true. If you just keep looking on the outside, the Bible says the devil is the god of this world. You ain't going to see too many good things. Why? Because he is not a good person. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But this is the good news. No matter how you feel, no matter what you see, no matter even what you think, the Bible says you, my friend, are anointed. And the Bible doesn't say with a different spirit. The Bible says there's only one spirit. Hallelujah. Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he, God, who raised Christ up from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal body. The word quicken means to invigorate. The word invigorate means give you the ability to absorb, receive everything that you need for spiritual survival and health. Wait a minute. How come I didn't know that before? Because you'd be looking in the wrong place. His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I've never got done watching the news and be like, praise the Lord, I just feel full of faith. Whew. My wife and I, we have a couple shows that we like. That's kind of like our time together. And so we'll be sitting there and we'll watching shows, and we never get done watching those shows and look at each other and be like, you so hot, full of faith. Like, man, I'm just tired. Let's just go to sleep. You know, it might refresh your mind, but the Bible says that John 6:63, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And you're like, well, I've tried reading my Bible, but I definitely don't feel the way you feel about the Bible. Well, just find a scripture, any scripture in the New Testament, find the God's promise, and you just read it and read it again and read it again, read it again. And when you thought you've read it enough, read about 500 more times. Wait, hold on. I don't got time for that. Well, that's your problem. Wait, why? Don't be so mean to me, John. Well, come on, man. I'm dealing with kids that I'm cutting themselves, be doing things. Why? Because no one's taking time to look them in the eye, because they don't realize it takes time to look someone in the eye and say, boy, I believe in you. You are no longer a boy. You a man. It's time for you to step up. You got it. You got the goods. You got the goodness, and you got everything. And when they walk in the flesh the next day and they come home, you got to say, boy, you got the goods. You a man. You're smart. You're full of wisdom. You're full of strength. Now I'm going to go spank yourself to get some more wisdom. But come on, somebody, you're still smart. You're still full of wisdom. And guess what? That's just 1 year. You got to do it first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. You got to really do it in seventh and eighth grade. And then you got to really, really, really do it in ninth and 10th grade. And when them 16-year-old get a driver's license, that's when you kick it in high gear. Do I have any parents that could just say, right? Man, I wish I had time to tell you all the stories. What about the kid that was molested by every person I think he probably felt like he knew? Man, he should hate God, and he should hate me as a man. But his grandma would pick him up and take him to church. And guess what would happen? He'd get the word. When he struggled with his sexuality, guess what kept popping up? The word. I picked him up every Wednesday night. What I do is, this is three things that I like to do to students. I have power in my words, right? I have power in my words. Well, guess what? I'm anointed with my hands. So I always do this. Hey, man, how you doing? What's going on, man? Hey, look at me. Well, no one's taught them to be a man. Hey, look at me in the eye, man. You look me in the eye, I promise you'll get raises like nobody else. Why? Because they'll trust you if you look them in the eye. And they'll be like, I'm trying. I'm really trying. And I'll say, before you get out of my car, you got to stop. Okay. Look me in the eye. I believe in you. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. I believe in you. You're going to do great things. You're going to be a man of God. You're going to do great things. 3 o'clock in the morning, get a phone call. Who is this? It's Balthazar. Balthazar, what's up, my friend? I haven't seen you in a while. I just want to tell you, thank you for always telling me you believe in me. Where are you at? Oh, I can't tell you. Why? He went to some party in the middle of the night, getting ready to do something stupid. And the Holy Spirit, John 14:26, what does it say? It says he'll remind you of everything the Father has said. All of a sudden, he got a remembrance. Oh, why? Because I wasn't speaking it just a lie to him. I knew what would happen if I spoke it in faith. I will have whatever I say. Guess what I'll have? I'll have a kid that believes in himself because I believed in him. We went to a hotel last summer. We show up. This dude hated authority, rejected authority, kicked against authority. I mean, we had issues with authority, but when he came to church, you would have thought he was in the military. Why? Because I heard someone say this, in every man, there's a boy. Every boy, there's a man. And the one you speak to will respond. In every general, there's a clown. Every clown, there's a general. And the one you speak to will respond. So you speak to them like they're men, not like they're little children that are just causing you issues and thorns in your side and just wish they would just go away so you could catch up on reruns and or whatever. Man, you got to speak to them. And I've seen it. So Balthazar, I walk in this hotel. We can't get checked in. They're having all these issues. Real nice hotel. Super nice hotel. I walk in, all of a sudden, Pastor John, hey, Pastor John. No one else can get in the hotel. Guess who's running the hotel? He says, he looked at everyone. Everyone else had a lot more money than I had for show. And he looked at his guys and he just kind of gave them the thing. Man, they got me in my room right away. Not only did they get me in the room, they got me in a better room. Not only did they get me in a better room, but I had this package waiting for me full of coffee and free. And then he walked over to Starbucks and said, hey, when this guy comes up, you give him whatever he wants. Yeah. Why? The power of the word. Isaiah's dad left him in sixth grade for a man. His dad was a teacher at Oral Roberts University and was a leader at a church and walked in when he was in sixth grade, one of the most pivotal times in his entire life. Walked in. His dad's white. His mom's black. He already had struggles at school, people making fun of him because he's too light, but he's not too dark and all these things. Shows up. We call him Izzy. Walked in. Dad said, see ya. I got to leave for a while. He didn't actually tell him what he was going to do. And then they found out, sister, a month later, Oklahoma State University, at a party, wrong place, wrong time. Dudes do the wrong things to her. She gets pregnant. Their family crashed. I just become the youth pastor. He looks at me one night in my car, driving 1991 Subaru Legacy wagon, air conditioner, none. Tape player, doesn't barely work. Little radio, if you tilt to the left, would sometimes come in. And nothing to shout about. And he was sitting in my car, taking him home from church because his mom had to go get her master's degree so she could make enough money for the family. And he looks at me and says, you think I'm gay? I was like, what? Everybody at school tells me if my dad was, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, I'm not really into sports. I don't like football. And you think I'm probably gay? I said, my friend, eighth grade, a year ago, he married one of the most beautiful women. I don't know how he got her. I was even thinking, I was like, what? Are y'all playing a joke on me? You know, I did their wedding, beautiful wedding. Both who end up going to Bible school, became a youth pastor. Now he works for me. He helps me. He's actually teaching. We have an internship, and he's teaching my classes while I'm gone. Getting ready to have a beautiful young girl in December. He's been to all the camps with me. Why? Because I looked him in the eyes and spoke the truth to him. What about Alex? His parents busted up. Both of them went to Oral Roberts University, graduates, had great money. I think his dad went to Rhema even, and all these things. They busted up, got in trouble. And I'll never forget, he sat there, man. I mean, everything. He just looked at me. He even had a lisp. He goes, hey, Pastor John. He says, you know, I don't know what to do. I said, man, just hang out with me for a bit, all right? I picked him up every Wednesday, every Sunday. I mowed the church on Friday. I picked him up on Friday. So the rule was, if you go to church with me on Wednesday and you ride in my car, I take you to McDonald's and we get Big Macs on Wednesday nights and we're going to talk on Friday. So that's why we always had seven kids in our car. But then on Friday, if you help me mow, I'm going to take you to this place called Lenny's and we're going to have subs. And so we have, I had the chicken Philly, but we'd sit there and we would talk. And so today, Alex, how many years later, he came up to me and said, I think we should start a youth praise and worship band. And I was like, you're right, we should. And I was like, you play an instrument? He goes, yeah. I go, what do you play? The bassoon. Could I get an interpreter in the house, please? I'm not sure what a bassoon. I was like, oh, so you're in the school band? He says, no one at the school even knows how to play this instrument. He goes, I ought to go to these private lessons. But I'm in the Tulsa Youth Symphony. Say, what? I was like, well, I'm not sure you can lead praise and worship with a bassoon or not. He goes, oh, that's okay. I'm getting ready to teach myself to play piano. I was like, okay. Thinking this is going to be a long time before we have a praise and worship team. I go over to his house about a week later, and he's not teaching himself chords like Mary Had a Little Lamb. He's got Lord of the Rings, the music from that. He's playing straight up, full everything, accompaniment, everything. We started a praise and worship band. 3 years later, they have a CD. To this day, Alex is getting his master's. The Lord spoke to him when he was in our youth group about music. So he's getting a minor in music, but he's getting his major is in finances. He's going to start his own business. He drives an hour and a half to school and drives every Sunday an hour and a half back to church to play worship on Sunday morning. Why? The anointing. What happens to a young kid when they realize their anointing? What does it say in Galatians 5:16? If you be led by the Spirit, you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. I just wish they would stop doing this and stop doing this and stop doing this. I wish they would too, but they ain't. Why? Because they got a flesh. So what are we going to do? We're going to teach them what's greater than the flesh. It's the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of him. And if you're led by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You got Alex's leading worship. I did his wedding this summer. You got people. I got Ben down in Seminole, Texas. Got a big old youth building. They got over 100 youth. I could just go down the line and down the line and down the line. And I wish I had hundreds of them. But I will tell you this. It don't matter what you've been through. It don't matter where you come from. It don't matter what you believe about yourself. You take the word of God and you start putting it before your eyes instead of focusing on the snow and snicking your nose up there. Get on the inside and find out what's on the inside. Your life will be forever changed, my friends. So what happens when you pray in the Holy Ghost? What does it say in Jude 20? I was just meditating on this last night. It says praying in the Spirit, in your most holy faith. Guess what I'm in when I'm praying in the Spirit? I'm in faith. I'm in the Spirit. I'm in the anointing. I'm in victory. I'm in hope. I'm full of strength. I'm full of vitality. Well, we just don't like to do that here because, you know, we scare some people away. I was at a youth group. I'm going to try to close with this, and I feel like there's a couple people the Lord want me to minister to, but I'll never forget. I was in a youth service. I'm just sitting here and telling my story. There's about 80 kids in there. I know this youth pastor. He's a good youth pastor, knows the word, loves God. We're sitting there. And at the end, I give a call. We're talking about the power of God, the dunamis, miracle-working power of God. It'll put you on airplanes when you ain't got no money. It'll send you to towns that no one else will go to. I wish I told you someone's just footing my bill all the time. God's footing my bill. Amen? Why? Because he said go, we're going to go. And so I find myself here. And I give a call for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now you're not supposed to do that when you do an evangelical night, you know? But I was like, well, that's what I feel led to do, so we're going to do it. 50 kids walk up. I'm like, what is he preaching in here? I know him. Why are all these kids here? They all get filled. Well, there's two of them that didn't get filled. It was so funny because they come up and get filled. And guess what? They haven't even been saved. They're like, I just want that power stuff you're talking about. I thought we weren't supposed to do that because that scares them away. But it brought them in. It's the people that have been taught not to believe that. So it's so weird because we're trying to appease people that are already saved that don't want none of it, then trying to preach it and get the people that want it that don't have anything. It has never made sense to me. But anyway, so we come up there and I asked him, I said, man, I'm not trying to be wrong or anything, overstep boundaries, but that was a lot of people that came up. He goes, I know, it was great. Well, I mean, it was great that they got filled, but bro, if they're in your church, they should have been filled a long time ago. He goes, no, they're all first time guests. Say what? All of them, most of them first time guests. Why? Because there's something about the anointing. It heals the brokenhearted. Those that have been depressed and in mourning, what does it say? It'll give them a garment of praise. What about people that struggle with depression? It says, put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, right? You put it on. Well, it's hard to put it on if you don't think you have it, right? But when you know you got it, guess what? I'm going to put it on. Hallelujah. And it'll get you through the tough times. It'll get you through the thick times. It'll put you through every time. No matter what you face, no matter what you think, no matter what anyone else has said about you, it'll pull you through every single time. And I don't know why, but I just felt like I was supposed to tell you that. God's word and God's spirit is going to pull you through. You've had other people that pulled you through and then let you go halfway through. And you begin to believe, like, why should I keep on believing? Why should I keep on trying? But I want you to know something, that the Bible says you have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living in you, in you, in you, in you. How do you value something? An iPhone isn't worth anything if it doesn't work on the inside. But if it works on the inside, it adds value to it. And so your value is not based on what you see on the outside. Value is not determined by what you see on the outside. Value is determined by what's on the inside. And on the inside of you, girl, there's some good stuff. There's some good stuff. There's some good, good, good stuff. And the Lord would, out of all these people, would just say, I don't know why you needed to hear this, but I do, because God loves you. He loves you. Don't give up. Don't give in to the pressures. Don't give in and just say, well, nothing good will ever happen. I might as well go ahead and take the low road. No, you keep holding on. You keep holding on. You surround yourself with people that know how to hold on. And guess what? You'll be pulled through. Each and every time. I can just see it in you right now. You got a beautiful, beautiful heart, a destiny. Jeremiah says this, before you were in your mother's womb, God knew you and he had a plan for you. I love that. You want to know why I love that? Because we don't know who Jeremiah was born to in the essence of like what their family situation looked like. But forget about Jeremiah for a second and just think about Jesus. You know what Jesus did on the cross, his last words? Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus' own father forsook him. Why was that? The Bible says this. He forsook him. Why? So that we could be accepted. He became poor. Why? So we could become rich. when Jesus was resurrected. I love what it says in Romans 8:11. Ah, I missed it earlier. Now I got it. Romans 8:11, it says, "For if he who raised Christ from the dead, if his spirit dwells in you," guess what that should say? It says, "For God who raised Christ," Jesus' Father came to his rescue. Why? He was the firstborn among the living, so that now the Father God would be a father to you, never leave you, never forsake you, but putting his spirit within you. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, it is a seal, it is a deposit guaranteeing things to come. Amen. What's your name? Melinda. Is this your first time here, or you come here a lot? You come here a lot. Melinda. Does that speak to you? Do you feel like a balloon is, air is getting blown into a balloon right now, right? Guess what? You don't got to wait till the next time I come here. You don't got to wait. Guess what? Every day you can do. I'm anointed. I'm valuable. I'm precious. Even when you don't feel it. Amen. So Lord, I pray for my friend Melinda, Lord. I pray for her right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the anointing that heals the brokenhearted. Lord, we just thank you right now for the anointing. We thank you, Father God, right now. She might feel desolate and feel like she's in mourning, but the Bible says, I love what you do, Lord. Joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, where does joy come from? It says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is joy. Where's the Spirit of the Lord? In you. So guess where joy is? In you. Lord, I pray for my friend here. Thank you for her calling, Lord. I just continue to remind her that she has a divine destiny. It has been written in heaven before the foundations of the earth. It was recorded. You were that, Lord, you were that guarantee. You had that guarantee over her that you even wrote it before she was born. Hallelujah. So I just speak over you in the name of Jesus and encourage you to line your words up with his words. His words are, you're called. You're chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for my friend that all the way from Oklahoma, we would have to come here to Arizona to cross paths. I thank you, Lord, that while he's on this mission trip, the Bible says, and Paul wrote to Timothy, says, hold on to the prophecies that you've had since a young boy. For with them, you can fight a good warfare. For some have forsaken these prophecies and shipwrecked their faith. But Lord, I thank you that what the Bible says in John 14:26, that Holy Spirit, you'll remind him of everything the Father has said. I just see it right now. He's in the middle of a town getting ready to hug one little kid, and this kid that doesn't deserve to be hugged in the natural. But Lord, he's hugging this child, and all of a sudden, a revelation of your love for him. So I speak over him that he has eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, our minds cannot conceive, our eyes cannot see, our ears cannot hear what God has prepared for us. But 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God reveals it to us by his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches out the deep and the hidden things and reveals them to us. So what's been too deep for him, what's been too hidden for him, the will of God that seemed too far from him, Holy Spirit, he'll recognize it's already in him. Ha ha, he's loaded. He's loaded. He's carrying around a divine destiny, a nation, a destiny, a people group that no one else can see. No one else can hear why they should go. No one else can see what he sees because it's in his heart. In Jesus' name. Why don't you stand up? Let's just stand up. Just lift up your hands. Thank you, Lord, for that anointing that you've put on me. You told me to establish the missing link between people and their divine destiny, that if I would connect people to the Holy Spirit, it would awaken the call of God. It would unleash their direction, sustain them with purpose, and equip them with destiny. They would have a cause worth living for. They'd have a cause worth fighting for. They'd have a cause worth getting up for. They'd have a cause worth not quitting for. Thank you for that destiny being awakened in the name of Jesus. Revival. He's a carrier of revival. But it's not like a revival like John Smithwick revival. It's a grassroots revival. It's found in individuals, loving them, caring for them, one at a time. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to sow this into your life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. There was one more person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What's your name, my friend? I'm sorry. Sylvester. Why don't you stand up, would you? I can't climb over the chairs. It might be wrong. Why don't you stand over here, man, just so I'll pray for you. Thank you, Lord. How old are you, Sylvester? 15. Why don't you just close your eyes right now, and I want you just to look right here. Right here. You pray in the Spirit? Yeah? Okay. It's kind of nervous when you do. It's all. Hey, listen to me. I prayed for over 600 kids, small churches, big churches, and it's nervous for everyone. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, anyone who speaks in an unknown tongue, it says no one understands it. Are you a one? Guess what? I'm a one. Guess what? All of them are ones. Guess how many people in here can understand it? None of them. What does it say? No one understands him. Howbeit, he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. If something's a mystery, do you know it? No, it's a mystery. That's why it's so cool. Because even when we don't know what to pray, the Bible says in Romans 8:26, when you know not what to pray, you can pray in the Spirit. And the Bible says this, and he who searches the hearts, God, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit prays the perfect will of God. See, that's what happens is most people, they start praying right here and their mind tries to kick in. But 1 Corinthians, I believe it's in 14, 12 through 14, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, it says, his mind is unfruitful. If it's unfruitful, it means it doesn't work, right? Guess what doesn't work when you speak in tongues? Your mind. Your mind's like, wait, what's going on here? I don't understand this. What's going on here? I don't feel nothing. Oh my word, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And that's where most people quit. Same thing happens with faith. Faith is in here, and they believe something, and they begin something, and their mind kicks in and says, well, that's not what it looks like. That's not what it should be. But faith is not of this natural realm. It's of the spirit realm. If it was of the natural realm, then everybody would be pleasing to God, walking around in faith and victory. But is everyone walking around in faith and victory? No. Oh, my friend, God would call you out today because he loves you. Amen. You've been through some stuff, haven't you? Yeah, man. But guess what? Guess what's going to get you through everything you go through? Your head won't, right? Because your head will tell you, quit, quit. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not cool enough. You're not popular. But guess what this will say? It'll say you're good enough. Lift up your hands, my friend. Just begin to pray in the Spirit right here. Ready on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Korro pandidi birshunta da karevrasunta. Bronda kitere brosunta. Yeah, you got it. It's right there. It's bubbling up right there. Right there. There it is, right there. Korro konare didi divreste. Korro liuntororo kiri didi vreshi kiri devrando. Vrede vrede visto vrosongo la kike levreshi korre yatara yatolosta. Just like that. Bro kota la barabushike de broson kata devreste. Your mind's trying to kick in, but make your focus right here. Put your focus right here. It's bubbling up. Bro so kota la brasike devresh kiterista. Thank you, Lord. Dola kinderiste. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we just right now, I take authority over the spirit of fear that would try to hold him back in Jesus' name. Spirit of faith, rise up. The Bible says we having the same spirit of faith, we do also speak. He's got a spirit of faith. Say, I got a spirit of faith. I got a spirit of a sound mind, of power, of love. Say, I got a spirit of power, of dunamis, miracle working power, the same power that was with Jesus. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. That means, say that means, I got power. That means I got power. I'm not weak. I'm not weak. I'm powerful. I'm powerful. I'm anointed. I'm chosen. God hand selected me to be here on this planet at this time, gone through what I've gone through, but to have power to overcome, to overcome, to overcome. Every problem, every issue, everything, every person, I can forgive them. I can let them go because I've got power. I've got love and I've got a sound mind. I just take authority right now over every plan of the enemy that's tried to steal his destiny. And Lord, right now, the word of God, awaken, awaken. Hallelujah. You have a job? No? I feel like I'm supposed to tell you this, man. You're a good worker. You're a good worker. You're a good worker, man. You're a good worker. Your teachers tell you you're not a good worker? Guess what? You're a good worker. You're smart. You have a spirit of wisdom, of revelation. I take authority right now over every word that's been spoken over you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah 64 that every word that's been risen up, or 54, I'm sorry, I misquoted it. And that they that have been rose up against you, those words, they will be refuted. They will be batted away, knocked down, removed. That your burden will be light, that your yoke will be easy. Those words that have been trying to come against you, now the spirit of faith will rise up in you. You'll be reminded of my words this day. The Holy Spirit, take these words and implant them in the power. The only way you can is seeds into his heart. That he is a good, good, good worker. Because I don't say that, man, just because I see it. That's what's rising up in here. Guess what's in here? The Holy Spirit. Guess who the Holy Spirit? Guess what John 16 says? He'll take from the Father and he'll make it known unto me. That's what the Father's saying over you, my friend. You a good worker. You're smart. You're strong. Got a spirit of love. Power and a sound mind. I got a student right now. He's not his chemicals in his head doesn't work. So by the time it goes from here to his hand to write, it there's something that stops it. He's not supposed to be able to write or read. And one day he just woke up and he said, "I'm done with this mess. I'm done with this." I think he was 13 or 14. He had missed years of school, like because he couldn't write. And one day he just finally grabbed a pen and he just said, "I'm gonna do it." His writing ain't like cursive and all that. You know what he filled out on his own? Application. You know what every day he does at class? Takes notes. You know what the teachers try to tell him? Other kids at school try to tell him? Man, you ain't smart. You're weird. You just look at him and say, "I'm fearfully, creatively, and awesomely made." Because when you go to college, they're just going to say, "You're normal." But when I go to college and succeed, they're going to say, "Man, now that's a miracle." Come on, somebody. Right? Did you hear what I just said? When you go to college, they're going to look at you. And when you succeed, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, he will bless whatever you set your hands into. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't get wise over years. God gave them wisdom in a matter of weeks. They were 10 times wiser than all those that had studied the Babylonian system for generations. Hey, somebody, you got God's wisdom. You're smart. You're smart. You're a good worker. Did y'all see what happened? Did you see what happened? What happens when you just let people listen to what the world says? They'll just sit there. See that smile on his face? There's people that would pay for him just to look at him and smile. That will bring some joy, my friend. So don't be afraid. Come on, let's just lift our hands together and just worship God, shall we? Just say, "Father God, thank you. Thank you that you creatively made me. Thank you, Lord, that I'm smart. Thank you, Lord, that you'd bring some crazy dude from Oklahoma to call me out and tell me that I'm a good worker. Thank you, Lord. I'm a good worker. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a good worker. I'm a good worker." I heard that revival has been prophesied over Douglas. Huh? You get a young person on fire? It wasn't the churches that were getting all the kids saved. It was a group of students that we got around our flagpole every morning and prayed for revival. Every morning. I was the druggie. I was the partier. I technically wasn't classified the druggie. I was the athlete. I was the partier. I tried everything. And one day I just woke up and I was like, "You know what? I've tried doing everything, being all out everything." I had scholarships for football. I was a kicker. Had scholarships. Had all the girls that you're supposed to want. It seemed like I had everything. I was the popular. And I woke up one day wanting just to not live because I was so depressed. And I remember something woke up on the inside of me. My dad's prayers woke up on the inside of me. And I was like, "I've tried doing everything but being all out for God. I've tried doing everything but actually doing what I know I'm supposed to do." And I committed my life to God. And you know what happened? People started following me. They said, "I want to do what you're doing." I thought I'd be the only one in my school doing what I did. 700 people later, my basement was full of people getting kicked out of churches and people talking bad about us because teachers were getting filled with the Spirit in their classrooms. Kids got saved during school hours. We had a big assembly. 400 kids one time, 300 kids the next time. People were writing, they wrote me about me in the city paper, how this kid got healed of a broken finger in our basement. What happened? It didn't come because some church showed up. Who showed up? The people that weren't supposed to show up. The kids that everyone said were losers. The kids that everyone said were snotty-nosed, selfish, too self-centered. What happened? They got a hold of who they were in Christ. And when you get a hold of who you are in Christ and you don't have a mortgage payment and a car payment holding you back, you'll stay as long as you can at church. You'll be at every meeting. On the first and second row, it'd be young people sitting on that. on Wednesday nights when everyone else too tired, we was there getting the word. I didn't have to go to Rhema. Why? I got it at church, just like y'all get it every Sunday, every Wednesday. I was in Bible school my whole high school. You don't got to wait till you're older, my friend. Right now, you can make a decision in your heart. You don't even have to say it out loud. You can just decide in your heart, and you can decide who you're going to be. You can do that, and no one can take that from you. No one. They'll try to, but your decision, if you believe whatsoever you say, you shall have it. It's the power of decision. You're going to be here tonight? You're going to go to Tucson? Stand up then. Maybe that's why I was drawn to you. Lift up your hands. You pray in the Spirit? All right, let's do it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Building him up in his most holy faith, Lord. Thank you for it. Right now. There it is, right there. Uh-huh. See, your believer's kicking in. Your believer's kicking in. Yeah, that's right. That's right. What he said was right. I can believe. I can do it. It don't matter what they say. It don't matter if they make fun of me. It don't matter if they say I'm weird. I believe right here. I can believe it. I can believe it. I can believe regardless of what I feel. I can believe regardless of what I see. Ha, 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 ha. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man. Look at me. Guess what? I wasn't doing it with you. You did that on your own. Okay, close your eyes. Lift up your hands. On the count three, we're going to do it together again. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Stop. Go. Stop. Go. Stop. Go. Stop. Go. Do it loud. Do it quiet. Look at me. You just controlled it. You stopped it. You started it. You went louder. You went quieter. So guess what that means? You control it. So guess what that means in the shower in the morning? You control it. Guess what that means when you go to bed at night? You control it. You don't got to wait till the music gets quiet. You don't got to wait till you get to church. On the way to school, you can do it. Sometimes I get scared to get on an airplane. All these thoughts go through my head of airplanes missing and all these weird things. And this fear just tries to grab me. I know what to do. I grab my bag and my luggage. They think I'm going to the bathroom. I open up the stall, close it. And I just, this morning when I was ironing my clothes, last night when I'm just trying to figure out, all right, Lord, where are we going to go tomorrow? You can do it whenever you want. Guess what you're tapping into? The anointing. So you can be anointed all day, every day, whether you feel it or not, because you got it. Amen. Right here, my friend. It's written all over you. I can just see it all over. You've seen some things, haven't you? You see yourself doing some things and you're like, I just think that's kind of God giving me a dream. God's giving you a dream. And he did the same thing for Joseph. If you'll stay close to God, guess what? It'll become your reality. I never thought I'd be traveling around this country. I never thought I would, but I had a dream. But one day I finally just said, why not? I keep seeing it. Why not? So guess what I started doing? I found people that were doing what I'm doing. I started sowing into them. I found people that were what I wanted to be. I hung around them. I didn't hang around with the bozos. I wanted to hang around with people that were doing something. And you know what? Whatever you sow to, that's where you'll go. Amen? Stand up. I speak to you. Are you going to be here tonight?
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't you just get a double dose tonight? Come on, just lift your hands. Thank you, Lord. Right now, I speak to that destiny to be awakened. That when he shows up tonight, Lord, I can see it now. He's got this smile on his face because he knows that he knows that he knows. He used to think it was a dream, something he made up in his mind. But now he's recognized that's the Spirit of God speaking to him. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 2:10? The Holy Spirit will reveal. The word reveal means to revelate, means to have knowledge of the deep and the hidden things of God. So I thank you for it today, Lord. It begins. It's already begun. But it begins now. You can just say, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's me.
That's not a dream. That's me.
That's me.
That's me.
Yep, that's me.
That's you, dude. Amen.
Amen.
So when you wake up in the morning, no matter where you work and no matter how bad you hate your work or whatever you do, all right? I had purses. I was working at DSW shoe stores. I had purses on my arms. I was hanging purses on a purse wall. I'm looking at it. This lady came to ask me, where's the bathroom? I got purses on my arm and I'm like, that way. And my mind goes, you're an idiot. You think you're going to travel around the country? You have purses on your arm. And I said, well, maybe I just made it all up. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know him and know all things. Wait a minute. I was hanging purses. Glory to God. This is just things to come. This is just things to come. I'm hanging purses now, but eventually, praise the Lord, I'm going to be traveling around the country. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all bow our heads if we would. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I have one more thing that I want to just do after we're dismissed. Hallelujah. If you've been never been filled with the Spirit, you've never had the opportunity to speak in other tongues, and that's something that you would desire to do, as we're being dismissed, I'm just going to be up here, and I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you've been prayed for before. Maybe hands have been laid upon you, and it just didn't happen before. And I can't tell you the hundreds of people that I've met that's happened to them. And it's just really simple, honestly. You've got it already in you. If you've prayed and asked God for it, He would be unjust not to give it to you. You've got it. It's just now learning to release it. And I'd love to help you out with that and love to explain that. And I'm just so grateful to be here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just prophesy right now over Douglas. Douglas, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up to the Word of God. Wake up to the Spirit of God. Wake up to the prophecies that have been prophesied over you for generations. Wake up. There's some people in this room that are going to rebuild this city. Places that have been devastated for generations. The anointing is going to rebuild this city. The anointing is going to rebuild this city. The anointing is going to rebuild this city. When the governments realize they couldn't do it, when the school system realized they couldn't do it, they're going to look because they're going to see there's some people that are doing it. And it's some anointed folk. It's some people with the anointing. Hallelujah. Let's just say this with our mouths. Say, wake up, Douglas. Wake up to your destiny. Wake up to your destiny. Wake up. You are a land of enchantment. God's goodness, God's grace, God's anointing, it's for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, I'd love to see you tonight. I don't know what the Spirit of God got planned, but it's going to be good. Amen. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberation. Hallelujah. I encourage you to bring your friend. You're like, well, that's kind of spooky. Well, you just heard my testimony. Sometimes you can spook them in. You're like, well, that doesn't sound right. That sounds wrong. Let me tell you something. People are desiring for results. And they don't care how spooky they are. Think about the weird things that people do. Think about when it's spooky. But on the inside, it's life. I love the Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for the word of God that's went forth. That even today, that they're going to, their old thought patterns are going to try to say, well, you're not worth anything, and you're not, and all of a sudden your word will rise up on the inside of them. They're anointed. They're marked with destiny. Lord, we thank you for that. We take authority over the enemy that would try to come and steal the word. And we thank you. We plead the blood of Jesus over every heart, every life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, John. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of that? Well, I'm encouraged. Amen. I'm encouraged when I hear the Lord speak through people. Amen. Yeah, be here tonight. I know, you know, we're calling it a youth service, but if you feel a little bit older than that, sit on the back row and give the front rows to the young ones. Amen. Push them up here. But let's support this. Everybody say, I want to support this. Amen. So be here tonight, please. And bring someone with you, you know. The Bible said compel them to come in. You know, twist their arm a little bit. Go pick them up. Bring them in. People need to be here because the power of God you saw this morning is going to magnify tonight. Magnify and multiply. The glory of God doesn't diminish in a situation like this. It increases. And Father, in Jesus' name, we just believe for it. We believe for the increase and the multiplication of your glory, your Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit. Lord, we just accept and embrace what you choose to do among our people and our community. Pray, Lord, that our brother John will be highly anointed. Father, in Jesus' name, that he will be highly anointed and sensitive to you and bold to speak what you would have spoken in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now that you know how he preaches, go ahead and put a little more in the offerings, all right? Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. 6 o'clock tonight.